Water didn't kill us. We didn't get bilharzia. Yeah. So God is good. Where were we? We were in Uganda, and y'all know where that is, right there. That's Uganda. So right in the middle of Africa, and to the west is the Congo. That's the big one. To the east, that's Kenya. So you're right on the equator, and we were able to stand on the equator and whatever sicknesses we had left. and we were able to see, just one of the most beautiful countries in the world. Absolutely Hawaii, gorgeous. The trees, the animals. But they don't have a lot of paved roads, and the ones that they do have potholes. And so it might take you a long time to get from here to there. And if you have a bicycle, it's faster than a car. If you're walking, you can beat a car, you know. So it's fun. It's a fun place to be. But this country is full of love, Christians, and everybody received our word. It's probably 500 people, maybe 600, but anyway, quite a few people heard everything. About 30 pastors, probably. I was able to be on the radio and speak to the whole nation. And so we had great access. A lot of the major ministries are there. We went and visited the big television station that they have there for Christians. And a lot of people that live here in Dallas-Fort Worth are part of all that. So I'll be making a report to each of them about what's going on. Anyway, everything was received. Everything couldn't have been better. I'm not just saying that. It was really powerful. And we had two people from this church that were with me, plus David Halverson. And that was the first time that David's been in Africa for a long time. He did go years and years ago. I've been umpteen times. And so, Meg, why don't you say a few words about what we saw? Some of you contributed to the beds for the orphanage, 210 orphans there. And we got to visit the orphanage, and Meg was one of those that did that.
Pastor Joel, his ministry there to the orphans is just awesome. Their home is just, Rosemarie and I stayed in their home, and it is just the warmest, most welcoming place. It's not just family there, but there's extended family and adopted family and all kinds of extra people around, and it's just, and that's the way, I think that's the way the church is. Even the orphanage isn't divided into two groups. The older children, about 6 to, however the oldest is, 16, live at the orphanage, but the toddlers are in church members' homes, and they're their guardians, kind of like foster care, and I'm sure the church probably helps them a little bit with that. They're just the most giving church I've ever seen. But so the toddlers are in the church members' homes, and then when they reach a certain level in school-wise, they go to the orphanage. Loving to go. It's a lovely place to be, and there's just love and warmth, and it was beautiful. It was just a wonderful place. They don't have anything, but they're very happy there. We took two pumps down that I think Joel had brought when he was here earlier in April, and so they were going to have running water finally. But there's no electricity, and they cook over a fire, and it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. Lots of dirt.
Great. Yeah, it's very extremely primitive. And most of the homes are made out of mud, just sticks and mud. And, if you're in the city, they have then more bricks and cement. But if you're out in the countryside, which there's very little gap between city and countryside. I mean, it's just the countryside's in the city. I mean, so there's a lot of mud homes right in the city. But the streets are not streets. They're just places you drive between houses. And, you know, they have big, deep gullies. And, you know, you have to have a Land Rover or something to get through them all, four-wheel drive and all that. But, you know, it's nothing to have traffic jams everywhere in the city. You can hardly move. You can hardly crawl. But we loved it because we just praised the Lord. And everybody there responds to Jesus. Remember a few years ago, this was where Idi Amin had killed off, and his purpose was to destroy all Christianity in Uganda and make it a Muslim state. And he was very successful in doing that and killed multitudes of Christians. And a lot of the reasons why you see orphans everywhere is because he killed the parents. Then after that was AIDS. This is where AIDS began, right there in that place. And AIDS was up to almost 25, maybe even 30%, some say. So that's one-third of the population or one-fourth of the population. And so multitudes of parents died again, leaving the children. And now it's down to about 5-6%. Nobody has exact numbers, but it's no longer the tragedy that it once was, killing everyone. And most of the people have died off. And then the third thing produced more orphans, which is a civil war that they had between the Sudanese to the north, where the Muslim Sudanese were able to, again, try to destroy Uganda and brought the civil war to them. And so there was a great war and a lot of young people were killed. So the country has a median age of probably 15. That's where most people in the country are 15 years old or younger. So it was powerful. It was great because everyone loved the gospel. They loved hearing the teachings. I told them things that they did not know. It was unbelievable. You know, for example, my main message was you're not under a curse. And they believed they were. They believed that the black man has been cursed and that he's inferior and he has no real purpose or point. And they accepted that. And when I told them it was not true and pointed out all the scriptures and so on, they were like blown away. They were excited. Then we talked to the women about the woman's role in Africa instead of being a piece of property or chattel or someone to beat or walk behind you 15 paces. Told them about, you know, who they were in Christ. They liked that. The husbands didn't like that. Till I told them that, you know, your wife doesn't control you. You listen, but you don't do what she says. You do what Jesus says. Oh, they like that. So they were okay again. But it was... There's a lot of good teaching. Africa doesn't need preachers and miracles. It has too much of that. It has plenty of that. What they need is clear teaching. And they loved it. They received it. So we had a wonderful time. I would say everything was perfect. I mean, I can't imagine it going any better than it did. We impacted the nation. I'm certain that we impacted a lot of the young people. I mean, they would come up to you. I don't know how much you guys heard, but they would come up and say, this has changed my life. I now, you know, what you taught yesterday or what you taught today or whatever. The pastor's the same thing. So I think we have found a man of God with great integrity, Joel Bukenya. He's been here many times. Joel is someone that is trustworthy. He's not going to take American money and, you know, just blow it on stuff. Man, he's got such a ministry there. He's got a big farm. That's where the orphanage is. And they plant everything themselves. They do all their own washing. They're completely self-sufficient. And they're not begging anyone for anything. But kids were sleeping on the floor, you know, on the cement. And so we bought them some beds. And they were grateful for that. And they're going to put our names on those beds, whoever contributed. Put your name on there and pray for you. And so on and so forth. And so we're going to send back a team next year again. So if anybody wants to go, you couldn't have better people to work with. They're gentle. They They love the truth, and the nation is alive. It's really an alive place. So even though everyone's tried to kill off all the Christians, today Uganda is Christian. And the whole nation, the president's a Christian, his wife is a Christian, and it's the Muslims have now faded to the background. They're no longer powerful or strong. Gaddafi's been there, built a big mosque and so on, but you know, it's nothing. It's just an isolated thing. So at one time, Christians have no money. They have no, their churches are just sticks and tin roofs and always open. I mean, there's no windows or anything. It's just poverty, total poverty. The benches are just sticks, boards on the ground, or plastic Walmart chairs. So we appreciated the plastic Walmart chairs. But it's neat. David Halverson was preaching one night in one of the churches down in Jinja where Livingston and his pal met out in the, I presume you to be Dr. Livingston. Anyway, he was preaching in that place. It's not far from the airport. And he had a little flashlight that Rosemarie had in her purse because it was getting dark. And when it gets dark, there's no, you know, I don't have lights and stuff like that. And so he's got this little flashlight over the Bible. He can barely see it, and he's trying to read it. And so the pastor, being good practical people, he's put a little candle there. So now he's got a flashlight and a candle, you know. And pretty soon you can see David. He's up there. And then all of a sudden somebody had an idea of a generator with a light bulb tied to it. And then they attached that up, and pretty soon you can begin to see, and so on and so forth. So it's all primitive, and, you know, it's not the place you want to go as a tourist. It's the place you want to go as a missionary and preach the Word of God and love the people. They really praise. I mean, you never heard anything like it. They make a lot of noise, and they pray forever and ever and ever. And it just goes on and on. But Joel treated us like kings and queens. We were, you know, blessed. We didn't have to eat the local food. We didn't have to, you know, drink the local water. So that helps Americans a lot because you're, you know, loaded up with medicines that will protect you and so on. But we didn't have to do any of that. So I'd asked them ahead of time, please provide us with foreign water and with, you know, don't tell the ladies we don't want to eat their local food. You work that out because I'm not going to get your bugs. I don't want your bugs. So I'm pretty blunt, you know. Being an old guy now, I don't want to shorten my life for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you know, I'd rather be a little bit practical. But it was beautiful. It was wonderful. And Rosemarie was a blessing. And the devil tried to stop her from coming and did. She missed the airplane, couldn't get on. They wouldn't let her on. And we had to go off without her. But God worked it out. And she came another day, and it was such a blessing. And I could not find my glasses while I was when I left, so I just said, well, I'll just go and not see anything. But Peggy prayed. She said, you know, now once she heard that she couldn't go, she went and prayed, Jesus, just show me where those glasses are. And all of a sudden she opened her eyes and they were right there on the floor, you know, in front of her. So that was a blessing. So Rosemarie brought that gift, which I didn't know was coming. And it was great when I put them on. I could see everybody. So Rosemarie, why don't you share how God impacted you.
Well, there's really not enough words to express this trip. It was so incredible. And being with Pastor Jim, Pastor Joe, and Pastor David, so we tried to travel with disciples of God and prophets. It was beyond anything. And the kids just were so loving, and just one little thing, you know, you go up there and they ran to the car, 200 kids running to the car and surrounding you, and you just, they're just so appreciative, and they just, anything you say, and they want to hug you and talk to you, but they're so polite and so obedient. And we went down to a place after we sort of looked around, and they were all waiting for us in what we called Prayer Garden. And they were singing and clapping hands and singing little African songs and singing praises.
and Pastor Jim spoke to him, and Pastor Joe spoke to him, and then Pastor Joe has them all, creates four lines. I didn't exactly know what was going to happen, but he had them line up. Each little one of us, me and Pastor Jim, Pastor David, pray, and these little children come up from this big to this big, and you put your hands on their little woolly heads, and they're just so... I was sitting next to him, and he was saying all these wonderful things, and you know, and I was trying to copy him. It was incredible. Then you get into back into the car or whatever it was, bus, and drive nonstop to try and get to Pastor Joel's church, and it's once again dark and no light, and people are sitting around in a circle, and they are just so, so anxious to hear anything. Everyone always comes up and shakes your hand and hugs you, and it is beyond experience. And yesterday I was telling a person about it. She just wrote a check for $100, so after you get paying the offering here, save some money for beds, because a lot of them didn't have any beds.
Amen.
I keep wondering why I got the chance to do this.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. Couldn't have been better. Could not have been better. So I believe that country was absolutely changed and altered. And I don't believe we were just there to just encourage. We probably spoke to about 20-some churches. The whole country was impacted. So it was powerful. It was unbelievable. So God is good. God is great. And next year, if you all want to come along, we're going to go again. And while we were there, one of the things that happened, which was kind of sad, gave us an opportunity to do something. They have some cows there and so on, and they bought this bull that the wife of the pastor just spent, you know, $700 or $500 or something to buy this special bull that would impregnate all those calves. So the kids, because the kids eat the meat and drink the milk, and the bull died. You know, their favorite bull, and he'd been around. They bought him as a 1-year-old, and he was now dead. So that was sad. So for a few hundred dollars, we're gonna buy him another nice bull. But there's just an ongoing need there. To the best person ever. Have you met Joel? Do you know Joel Bukenya? Yeah, is a big guy, and when he comes, he might even come this month. If he does come back, we'll have him speak here, and I think we made a link or a touch. I don't know how to say this, but I've been in Africa now for 84, 94, 104, 30 some years. Whatever it's been. And I was always looking for where is the black person I'm going to work with as a brother. And I just believe there was someone there. And I like Joel, but I've been kind of hoping before, you know, was it going to be Mobutu, or was it going to be, you know, Pastor so-and-so or whatever. And I never really found the one that I felt was clean. Pure, you know, not, I don't mean not human, but I just mean that was at least the equal man of God that I am. You know, I wanted somebody that was, you know, not just going to say a bunch of talk and then just try to get all the money from the white guy or something, but who would really, you know, carry out the gospel. Well, this guy's doing it. And there's a lot of them doing it, but some are more pure than others. And Joel is really pure. His family's in order. So teachable. Everything, you know, he calls me his daddy. And everything he teaches there, he says, this man taught me, which, you know, I doubt that. But at any rate, he's got a lot of our tapes and stuff like that. So it's just a blessing. So I have a lot of grandsons there and so on and so forth. And it's wonderful. So we're going to work quite a bit with Uganda, again, so that everybody can know where it is. It's right there in the center. Right on the equator. The neat thing about Uganda is the British at one time decided Uganda would be the house of refuge for Israel. This was the British idea. And they created the nation. They carved it out of, you know, this is all one big tribal area. But they carved it out and separated Uganda out to be a special nation. And in historical terms, the Nile River ends right there. So it goes all the way from Europe way up here, all the way down through Egypt. Here's the Nile where it comes out into the Mediterranean Sea. And it's the longest river in the world. But it goes from south to north, which other rivers don't go. They either go east and west or go from north to south. But this one, coming out of Africa, goes the other way. And so it's very high here, and it goes all the way downstairs to the north. Anyway, where it goes, where the source of the Nile is Uganda, and that's Lake Victoria. And so that was named by David Livingstone. That was named, you know, Queen Victoria for her, in her honor. Well, there's something special about the history of that place and about the biblical nature of this. I don't know if you're aware, but there is a Bible verse in Zephaniah, the third chapter, which says, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Well, here's Ethiopia here. Right here says Ethiopia. And if you go almost directly north, that's Israel. So when God was standing in Israel, looking beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, he's looking at the rest of Africa, but beyond the Sudan, beyond the Sahara. And so, of course, it is at least the Nile, if not more. But we don't know how far it extends, but at least it's Uganda. And so, and probably Kenya and the Congo as well, all of that area, because there are huge river basins there. And so this Lake Victoria is central to that. Well, anyway, that means that God said in the last days, and that's where we are now, he said, I will look to a people of a pure language. He's not talking about their human language. He's talking about pure worship. He's talking about people who won't touch the glory, who aren't going to, you know, like when we do something, we always want a little bit of glory for it, sneak in there a little bit, get a little credit, and so on and so forth. But he's looking for a people that aren't like either the Jewish people or the white folk who always want to get something out of the thing. And they you know, they're serving God. They're doing God's thing. But on the other hand, they want to get a little bit of themselves. And he's looking for a people with pure language. In other words, the language of God's done it all, there's nothing more to do. And this is hard to preach among, you know, here in the United States or in the European countries, is because we always want to take a little bit of credit and do that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just something about it where we have a little bit of pride. Well, here's a people so beat down. Here's a people so destitute, so worthless, so easily rejectable, easily to kill off millions of them without anyone caring about it or noticing. And God is raising up such a people to remove that curse that is not from God, never has been, never would be, cannot be, and to tell them the truth. And I tell you, they come unglued. They like this message that here you are living in a mud hut with a church that has nothing, and it's just outdoor type of thing with a tin roof over some sticks. And you know, not one church, not two, not but hundreds and thousands of churches there, packed to the gills with people shouting, singing, and dancing. And we wouldn't even accept a church like that. That would be nothing. And so I love it. And then you tell them, well, you know, God's chosen you now to take the leadership. they can't even grasp what you're talking about, but yeah, you know, they just get excited about it. So it's powerful. But I believe someone like Joel will translate this gospel into their language. Every time I'd speak and share something, people get all excited, and then he'd explain it. He says, you know, what this man just said, I believe that 100%. And, you know, he'd just then begin to direct the people, wouldn't he? It was powerful, unbelievably powerful. Anyway, Meg was a real blessing, and we've been talking to all the young people in our Fort Worth church, about 15 or 20 of them. And they're going to go back with their young families and their young children and, you know, build a building for the orphans and so on and so forth. And the girls are going to go there and teach and so on. So we're training them already. So they're excited. So it's powerful. Anyway, thank you for all your prayers and those that gave. Your name will be on one of those beds. And if you want to give a few more dollars, that'd be good, because it's going to buy a cow, a bull, and other things. And Lynn Lehman, Lynn, you are such a blessing to them. I mean, Joel spoke so highly of so many of the members here in the church about how wish there's another couple here that gave several $1,000 to build this house. It's a beautiful house that Joel has out in the sticks again. But the house itself is beautiful. And Meg got to stay there, and Rosemary, and so on. So it was a blessing. So the ladies were safe. We didn't have to worry about that. Dave and I fought off the mosquitoes out in the bush, you know, we're there. No, actually, we had a nice Pope Paul. Actually, Pope Paul has a little place there. But it does, there are a lot of mosquitoes there. So you have to, I bought my own net, took it with me just in case. You don't want to die from those mosquitoes. Bill Noble knows what I'm talking about. All right, let's look at Luke. Let's look at Luke. I've discovered this pattern in Luke. That isn't just a Luke pattern, but because we're reading Luke, this pattern is so clear. And I've written it up on the board so that you can see it. I'm sorry for those that are on the tape. You can't see it, but there's 8 circles up here. And the pattern goes something like this. God shows up. Now, showing up is the greatest act of love. When you love Uganda and you send them a dollar, that's nice. But when you actually show up in person, that's nicer. And Jesus is the same way. I mean, God could write and tell them, you know, hey, I love you guys and so on. And yeah, but you never come down into our grubby little world down here. And, you know, let's see and spit on you and kick you and, you know, have some fellowship. And so it's not as fun as heaven. It's not as fun as the Holiday Inn or, you know, something like that. When you go into a hostile environment, it's not fun because you're going to suffer. But anyway, God does. He sends his son and says, you know, I love you. And to prove it, I'm going to send my son. So wherever someone goes who knows the Lord, you're sent by God. And this holy presence means it's unique. It's not just anybody. Just anybody can't share God. It's only those that are born again. It's only those that are filled with the Spirit. It's only those that really know him. You can't go and say Buddha or Hindu or some other kind of religion, because even though they talk about God, they don't really have the real God with them. And not only is Christ in us, but so is the Father. The Father is in the Son, in the Lord Jesus, in the Spirit. So we're all kind of there. So he's really present. But anyway, in Jesus, he came and this was his son. And he sent him. And immediately when you come somewhere, you're either going to say something or do something. So here's the words you say and here's the deeds you do. And then people respond one way or the other. They either hate you or they're grateful for you. Does anybody notice that? You know, you start saying stuff, and if you have no authority, people don't want to hear what you have to say. But if you have authority to what you say, here's what made Jesus more authoritative than Moses. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When God's going to show up, he could show you his outer holiness, but that wouldn't do you a lot of good, because that's just law. So if he tells you what you have to do, it puts a burden on you. But our God, that's not what he's like. He's not an angry judge trying to get people to serve him. He's a loving father who wants to forgive us. And so this merciful word has authority. And I know that's the truth. Every other religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, Judaism, all the other isms of the world, they're all putting weight on you to shape up, follow my law. And even we thought that's what God was into till his son showed up and said, you know, I got the same message, but a little different take on it. Instead of the Sabbath being over you, you're over the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath is to serve you. Every law that I have is just to bless you. And if you mess up, I'll die. If you don't do it right, I'll forgive you. Then I'll give you the Holy Spirit and help you. Well, wow, that's a little different take and I thought God was holy and wanted me to be holy. That's what he said. Is he a liar? No, he told the truth. But he never meant what I thought he meant. I thought he meant that I had to do it. I thought he was putting a burden on me to shape up. And I'm just too weak. I'm just too wicked. I'm just too hypocritical. I'm just, you know, whatever it is, I'm not. So, I thought he was ticked off at me. Is, hey, Jim, I made you and I want you to be holy. It's like, cool. But I'm just not good at holy. How many here are good at holy? You know, just holy is a little high. Especially when he defines it by saying, I want you to be holy like I am. It's like, I wish you'd have said, I want you to be holy and kind of do the best you can. I could probably have done that. Yeah, well, I did the best I could. Everybody can do the best they could. I remember my sister married this guy. He just got out of jail. And she married him just flat on the spot. You know, it's like, I said to her, God, are you an idiot or what? I remember, you know, I was just young too. And, you know, you married this guy and he just got out of jail. What's wrong with you? I mean, what? She said, well, Dad, Jim, I did the best I could. That's what I thought at the time. Now that he's choked me and, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, he's a bum and so on. So, yeah, but you could spot that guy in a few minutes. Well, you know, that's what I thought at the time. And, you know, it's like, and that kind of rebuked me because I thought, you're an idiot. And then I realized what she was saying was, well, looking back, you're right. But at the time, it seemed to me, you know, I was helping this guy out and he seemed to be in need and so on and so forth. And, you know, it was mafia, a guy just got out of jail and so on and so forth. Our family's loaded with mafia, so that wasn't such a big deal. But anyway, she was an idiot. And then she got another guy, and then another guy, and now she's got another guy. You know, she just keeps doing it. But that's a family trait. So, you know, my mother, you know, I was born, you know, as a bastard. Then that was a one-night stand. Then my next father was just stayed a couple of years, and he was gone. And then my next father was Adolf Hitler and so on. So I didn't have a cool background either. And my grandmother had been married, you know, four times and so on and so forth. So everybody in my family, I'll just put it this way, nobody has ever stayed married in my family. They've all had divorce after divorce after divorce. And Uncle Tom's mafia, Uncle Vic was mafia, Uncle, you know, and so on. There's all of them. They're all Uncle Duke, he was Irish mafia. So we got Irish, Italian, everything. We got it all. But though a pagan, I now love Jesus. So you see, you can take junk and turn it into something neat, like me. I just thought I'd say that. I mean, no matter how rotten and worthless you are, Jesus might love you. That's good news. Because, you see, if you put me under a be holy thing, it's no contest. I'm not even going to play. I'm not even going to get into that game. The minute you say, you have to do this, I know I won't. You know, I've been that way my whole life. If somebody told me, this is the right way and here's the wrong way, good, I'll go the wrong way. I don't want to go the right way. Anybody know what I'm saying? So I've never fit in. I have never followed the leader. I have never agreed to any rules, laws, conditions, or anything. I just do my own thing. Is there anyone else like me? Wicked, nasty, bad. That's why I never became a Christian, and thank God none of my relatives were, so I didn't have to. Until Adolf Hitler came along, and he said, you know, I am a Lutheran. You will be Lutheran. You know, so I was like, okay, what's that? And so I got into the church that way. And I thank God today for that third Adolf Hitler father because he forced me to go into church. But I was already 11 at that time, so that was the first time I ever stepped into a church. And when you grow up on the streets and you're poverty-stricken, you know, as we were, Africa to me is like at home. No, seriously. That's the way we grew up. We grew up with the Czechoslovakians, the Polish, the Bohemians. They were rough. Krizak and, you know, everybody that I grew up with went to jail or is dead. Everybody that I went to school with. So, because they were just a rough crowd. We lived what they call out in the boondocks, you know, out in the sticks. So, Jesus comes along and he gives this good word like, Jesus loves you. It's like, that's crazy. Me? I don't think so. And so, not only is he merciful to us, but he also follows it up with words and deeds. So whatever he says, he does. Whatever he says, he does. He keeps his word. If he says he loves you, he loves you. And I thought he was there to make me do well. Because I can say, I've been a criminal since the time I was born, even before I was born. I've never done it right. I mean, my mom was trying very hard to destroy me four times, and she explained how she did it, to abort me, because her mother told her, this kid is going to ruin your life. You know, he's a waste. You know, just get rid of him. And so my mom tried to get rid of me because she was young. She had graduated high school in 3 years, and now she was on her career. And if she had this baby, it would ruin her career, which it did. You know, and so she was not smart enough. She was real smart in school, but not smart enough to get rid of me. And so I feel I was clever. You know, when that liquid stuff came in, I was like that. And when the little stick things came in, you know, like that. And, you know, from the beginning, I've known, you know, this is a fragile world. You know, be very careful. You never know who's going to stick it to you or pour something on you or whatever. Do you all understand? So to be happy in this kind of world, it's kind of scary. It's kind of like what Jesus said in the Bible, which, you know, I didn't read for years. But when I finally read it, I went, you know, that's pretty accurate. In the world, you have trouble. But be of good cheer. That part I couldn't get. You know, if in the world you have trouble, you either have to harden yourself to fight your way through and just survive. Just whatever you have to do, lie, cheat, steal, whatever, I'll do it. Or you just get run over. Right? I mean, that's the only two ways. You're either going to harden yourself and fight for yourself. It's dog eat dog. You just have to survive. So I had no morals. I had no religion. I had nothing. Just simply stay alive. Well, Africa's kind of like that. That's why I can identify with them. That, you know, my neighbor had a dirt floor. You know, we had a wood floor with linoleum on it, and that was high class in my neighborhood. That was something. There's a 2-car garage, and had 2 rooms in it, wall down the middle. And my grandmother, and my aunt, and my mother all slept in the one bed, and we kids just slept out on little cots out in the other room. So that's it. And you got a bath every week, whether you liked it or not. It was Saturday. And the big thing as a little kid was, who's first? Who's going to get in that cold water first and that dirty water second and third, you know? So my cousin, you know, he wanted to be in first and so on because he was older and so on and so forth. So that's growing up rough. And the good news didn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, why would you like me? Because I'm not doing anything right, and I don't want to. I just want to survive. And but Jesus, whenever he did anything, so today 4 things happened in this story. He proved that he was Lord of nature. He was able to calm the sea, stop the storms. That's pretty amazing. I mean, they were blown away by that, and they marveled. They marveled at his power. They heard his words. They were gracious. They saw his deeds, and they realized he was there to help them, which nobody's out to help you. Nobody's on your side. It's just dog eat dog. So he was there. Nuh-uh. I got good news for you, and not only that, let's do it right now. Let's not even wait. Let me show you right now what the goods are. Wow, that's pretty cool. How many have met Jesus like that? So you can only respond in 2 ways. You can either be mad at the guy and want to kill him, because he's going to stop your sinning probably. And one of the things you do when you're a survivor is you sin. You just take every matter in your own hands. You lie, you cheat, you steal, you deceive, you're a con man. And that was me. I always did that. You know, if there's 2 ways to go, I'm going to go the easy way and I'm going to go the wrong way. And I have no problem with that. I don't have a conscience about that. In fact, I'm proud of myself for lying well, for deceiving. My parents never knew who I was. They never knew that I lived a double life. And in school, I lived a triple, quadruple life. In other words, I had to please the church people over here. You couldn't swear with that group. Over here, you have to swear in order to, you know, get along and so on and so forth. And I learned to just be whatever I had to be to survive, to get along. Does that make sense? Now, you all have it, but not as extreme, perhaps, as I was. At any rate, this good news, a guy like me, I didn't buy it at first. I thought Christians were hypocrites. Thank God none of us are. But I thought Christians were hypocrites. And I thought that, you know, I wanted to sin. I didn't want to be good. I liked sinning. Sinning was safe for me, and it was easy. I could do it. I was very good at doing it. Is there anybody else here that's good at sinning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's good. It's good to be angry. It's good to be bitter. It's good to be, I mean, it feels good. It's awful to have to suppress that stuff. Lustful. Yeah, just greedy. Vengeful. I mean, that's great stuff, right? I mean, just driving from Dallas to Fort Worth and Fort Worth to Dallas, vengeance comes out, you know. I mean, it's natural for me. It's not God bless you, it's, well, get out of the way, you know, and so on, right? That's what comes naturally. So, but you could respond this way of marveling that, my gosh, I never knew that God wasn't ticked off. I didn't know he had a good word for me, and I didn't know that he'd followed up with words to prove it. Like if you weren't even any good, he'd still love you, and then he'd do something to prove it. It's like, I can't imagine. Why would you do that? I mean, I'm not worth it. I even agree. I'm not worthwhile. Hello? And I married my wife just basically to abuse her. And you didn't catch on to that. But she deserved it. She deserved it. I mean, it's not like there's anything wrong I did. In other words, I didn't have any love in me or care. She'd ask me, well, Jim, do you love me? No. So that's the end of that. I mean, I'm a bottom liner. I don't like to, you know, lead people on. Just tell them the truth. Amen? Do y'all understand?
Yeah, it's great.
It is great. Because God hates liars. And I saw my family was full of lies, and I lied, but not to myself. I lie to others, but I would never lie to myself. So my mother would ask me the same question. Do you love me? No, Mom. It's like, I'm going to survive because I see what happens when people love. I watched my sister get trapped into that stuff, and look at her life, complete mess. So I'm staying out of this zoo. I'm not going to get into this zoo. When I'd come down to eat, I'd just eat. But in my home, you could not talk. My third father, Adolf Hitler, remember him? He said children are to be seen but not heard. So you're not allowed to talk. So you just go down, eat, then go back to your room as fast as you can and, you know, have a life. Because you don't want to be there. Because with my dad, if you did anything wrong, you got a spanking. He'd take a belt off, take you downstairs, beat you, and then, you know, bring you upstairs. So it wasn't a lot of fun. Hello. But he was bigger than I was. So, you know, that was it. He said, the day you can take me, that's the day you don't have to do what I say. So it was pretty clear. You know, he was a big football player. Remember, he's not my blood father. I'm not a football player type. So never have been. I tried push-ups once in a while, but, you know, it was a lot. So I knew I couldn't make this holy thing. But here he is, merciful, not to people that deserved it, but to people that didn't deserve it. He wants to be merciful to sinners. Hey, that's right here. Me. I mean, go ahead if you want to be dumb. Okay, go ahead. I'll take it. What are you giving? Well, I'll give you protection in this world and eternal life in the next world. Sounds good to me. What do I have to do? Nothing. Cool. Okay, you got me. I'm a believer. I'll believe that. You all understand? I'm buying into that. What do I have to do now? Go over to what the part I have to do. The Catholics said I have to make candles and do all this kind of stuff. And what do you all say? You know, they said, well, it's all grace. I don't believe that. I don't believe it. There's got to be a hook to it somewhere. I mean, what do you got to do? Jesus did it all. Cool. Okay, I'm in. If that's the deal, I never heard such a good deal. You mean, okay, let me ask you this. Could I sin all the way to heaven and then go to heaven? They didn't. They knew that was the wrong question, but that was the question I wanted to know. Is I'm liable to sin all the way. In fact, even when we get before God, I'm liable to sin right there in line. As we're standing in line, I'm liable to be standing in line, and you're supposed to be quiet or something, and I'll be whispering, hey, man, this line is long. What are you going to say when you get up there? And I'll be talking, and I know Jesus goes, hey, hush back there. You know? So if the guy's an angry judge, I'm going to get it. Or I'll see, you know, a little bug in heaven. I thought, I didn't think there were any bugs in heaven. Look at this over here. You know, hey, get back in line, okay? You know, with that, the bugs. So I just get distracted so easily. I am not a good religion person. And I'm not a good moral person either. I'm not dependable. Does anybody notice that? I'm not. And I don't want to be controlled by anybody either. And I don't want to control anybody. I don't really care if you're all good Christians or lousy Christians. It doesn't matter to me because apparently you can get in pretty easily here. All you got to do is believe. Woohoo! I mean, I'm telling you, that is good news to me. I bought in without even understanding the fine print. I'll take one of those. I'll take one of those. So here he is demonstrating that what he just said, he died for me. So, whoa, that guy's going to extremes to let me know he loves me. Pretty cool. I'll take that. So I was rejoicing, and he didn't even mind if I got mad at him and then switched back and forth and so on and so forth. I loved it. It was unconditional love. So here I am, but here I sometimes am. You know, I mean, I know I wasn't always worshiping him. Because I knew I was to be a Christian and you weren't supposed to put your hand to the plow and turn back and so on. I was turned back all the time. So sorry about that. Just messed the field up. Anybody done that? So I noticed that Christians were hypocrites and liars too. Not only were sinners sinners, but so were Christians. If we say we have no sin, we maketh God a liar. You know, so I noticed that, well, what's the point then? If you're a sinner and then he loves you and then you stay one, where's the power of the Holy Spirit? I didn't even know where that came from. So it was one thing to hear his word and then believe it. Hear and believe. It's another thing to actually have the power to do something that would please God. So here, not only do I get excited, worship God, thank you, Jesus, for loving me and all that, whatever you did, and then I want to tell other people about that. Pretty soon I got my words out there and deeds of love that are coming forth, and everybody knows that's a miracle. He has never done a decent thing in his life. Even my wife was shocked. You know what I mean? Like, because she knew. She knew. He's a scoundrel. And I never lied about that. She said, well, you're no good. True. That's true. So if you married me, you were an idiot. I mean, how can I take guilt over the fact that you're an idiot to have married me? Why did you marry me? And right away, her idiocy became obvious. You married the wrong person. Isn't that powerful? Do y'all know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? But it turned out Peggy was as wicked as I was. I mean, that turned out cool. Many of you have never seen that Peggy is equally bad, if not worse. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I'll have her say, Peg, say if you're wicked, equal to me or worse. Amen. Would you say you were worse or just equal? Remember the log thing about the log in your own eye. And
in that I cover my evilness all the time.
Yeah.
According to your teaching, and I think it's
you see what a blessing I am? You see? I mean, that's it. This is a blessing. Now, I'll tell you what makes for a strong marriage is where you don't love one another, you let Jesus do it. You don't do it. There's no weights on us. Jesus has lifted the burden. He's just restored to me the blessing that he originally intended. I didn't even do anything for that. It's just a free gift. It's just grace. There's no reward here for doing good. There's only, you know, he sowed and I reaped what he sowed and I sowed and he reaped what I sowed. That's a cool arrangement. He's happy. He's happy on that deal. I say, well, Jesus, you're foolish. But if you want to do it, yeah, I'll agree to that bargain any day in the week. Now, let me get it down now. I'm going to get life eternal. Okay, cool on that. And what's that other place I was supposed to go to? Hell, okay, I'm not going to go there. Cool. And then what about this world? Yeah, I'm going to cover you for this world. I'll keep forgiving you, even though you're a Christian. I'll keep forgiving you. That's too good. Come on, there's got to be a deal here. Well, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. Well, what's he do? Is he going to force me? No. He's a gentleman. He'll wait on you. Well, what if I never call on him? You will. You'll get in trouble. You'll need the guy. Holy Spirit, you know. Help out here. Because, you know, after a while, just getting forgiven for sin is not enough. After a while, you go, I wonder if I couldn't kind of like not do this all the time. You know, I mean, it's cool to be forgiven every time for being no good. But after a while, you realize it's really not that much fun because it's not really producing the happiness and the, you know, whatever. Anybody discovered that? Do you actually need help from being a monster to everybody? You know, you need a sign on you that says, look out, you know, watch out. You know what I'm saying? Some of you could, you know, you need to wear it, you know, actually have it out. A little bell maybe on it. I'm coming. And I'm going to, you know, destroy you. And so on. So that would be helpful that we could be more real. Amen? How many are real like I am? I mean, you just, you know, you've played your hypocrite games, but the truth is, you're deep down, you're nasty, selfish, wicked, shallow, boring. All right. So here's what Jesus does to produce one of these and forgive these, okay, when people hate his guts and kill him, persecute him, reject him, ignore him, he forgives them. That's cool. So this is what he was wanting, but here he's not still wanting to kill them off either. I would have wiped them out. If I was Jesus with all this power, I'd just forget the mercy part and just go for the power. Just skip right over it. Here I am, and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get even with you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He could have done it. He didn't want to. He's trying to show us something about his heart. And that totally blew me away. It's like, I'm like this. Why would you love a guy and make me one of these? And I was just like, wow, I don't know. Thank you. And then I began to tell other people, and not just with words, because that's empty hypocrisy, but with deeds, and I didn't do it. I'd have to say, this was the Savior, and this was the Lord, right here. Here was Savior, here was Lord. What the same guy that I believed, now faith is active in love, right? All right, now you got that little pattern down. And then, by the way, you get other people then to do the same thing you just did, you got a church. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. That's how you make a church. So Jesus saves me. I get together with one other guy, 2, 5, 10, whatever. And pretty soon we got a church. Because we've been born again, taken out of this world. And I can just tell you, I am not the same person that I was, but I'm still familiar with that other person. You know, it's just really thin. Woo! You know, right there. But I hide it as much as I can. Now, when you have a church like this, you've got an anti-church over here. In other words, all of those like this that want to do that. Remember we did the four soils last time? Here's three of the soils. Here's the other one. That's the fourth soil right there, the good soil. This is the one, the first one, is those that are spiritually hardened, like a hard path. The word goes out. They hear it. The birds come, eat the seed up, and it's gone. They never receive it into themselves. That's hypocrisy. That's Phariseeism. That's legalism, whatever. Those are the hardest people to reach because they're religious. They don't reject Jesus with their mouth. They reject him in their heart. They hear the word. They even, you know, they're really in church. Their church is loaded with these kind of people, hardened. Well, that's the one that's spiritually hard, hardest group to reach. Those are the killers. The ones that are the most religious are the most killer. Y'all following me? I'm sorry if you don't like this, but it's just the truth. Is people that are religious, you better watch out for them. Because it might not be this kind, it might be this kind. It's two different deals here. False church is called the whore. True church called the bride. The bride is someone that doesn't take any credit because Jesus did it all. The whore is someone that gets their own stuff in there and tries to get for God and for myself at the same time. I'm a natural at that, but I learned that Jesus did it all, and he did so much that I realized I'm not just worshiping him because he did some nice thing for me. He did everything. He did it all. He created me, redeemed me, gave me the Spirit, you know, blessed me, forgave me, guided me, led me, gave me a good wife, good church, you know, praise God. Y'all see what I'm saying? As far as I'm concerned, you are a perfect church. I mean, truly, this is what I believe. I'm not making it up. I truly believe Peggy's the perfect wife for me. Couldn't have a better wife. But it's not because she's not a monster. It's not because she's not selfish and nasty. It's not because she's as wicked as all get out, because she is. It's just that I believe Jesus when he says that's a perfect wife for you. You needed that wife right there. Okay, I want that wife. I want that wife. Do you all understand? I mean, she doesn't like me telling this, but she's at times said, now if I were to die, would you get a better wife? Or, you know, would you like a better one? No. I like you being nasty. That's the kind of wife I want. I'm serious. I don't want a good wife. I don't want a good wife. I just trust Jesus. She's perfect. She's exactly what I need. I don't want her cleaned up, shaped up, do anything I say. I don't want her to do that. Just be whatever you want to be. You want to love me 1 second, hate my guts the next second, yell at me, scream, bite, kick. Do it. Just go for it. You want to be a hypocrite and pretend like you like me when I know you don't? That no problem. Or you want to just outwardly yell, scream, bite, and kick? No problem. Do what you want to do. I'll tell you, that's a good thing for a wife to hear. I want to just tell you right now, Peggy is comfortable with being loved unconditionally. That's the way Jesus did it to me. So I'm going to do it the same way. You see, I don't know any better. That's what he did. I'm still excited from the day I met him. It's alive to this day. Is there anybody else like that? Hey, praise God. That's powerful. I'm telling you this. Thank God. He bore the burden. I got all the blessing. But now I want to share with everybody. And I don't have to. I just want to. Nobody's making me do it. I just can't help it. I just want to tell everybody, hey, this Jesus guy is cool. He's great. He's not like Buddha. He's not like Muhammad. You know, that guy's got me bowing 5 times a day and, you know, giving this and doing that and so on. I don't do any of that. No Allah Akbar stuff. Hallelujah. Amen? I mean, that's tough stuff where you got to get down there and fake it. They're faking it. They don't think he's Akbar. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They're miserable people. Religious people are miserable people. If you've ever met anybody that's religious, they're unhappy. Well, I was a pagan. I was happy, but it's only for a few seconds. You gotta keep the thing going to keep the happy up, and so you have to drink more, do more, yell more, cheat more, or something. You got to do something to keep it going. And that's tiring after a while. Y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah,
sure. So, you know, this Jesus coming along and saying he loves me just the way I am, unfixed. It's like, God only justifies the ungodly. That would mean if you were godly, like this liar here. If you were godly, he would not justify you. Not going to justify you. So here's another one, stones in the soil. Remember that? The seed goes in, actually goes into the soil this time, but it's shallow. Heats up quickly, the ground heats up quickly. Remember we did this last time. That means you got problems inside yourself, stones inside your life, obstacles that are interior to you. And the word comes in, you're a Christian, but as soon as a little persecution comes, well, I got problems enough right now without Jesus adding to it. So people then fall away. So that's another soil that produces something, but it doesn't last. So you see a lot of Christians real happy one day, and the next day they're back to their old normal life. See that? That's a self-pitying person. That person right there feels sorry. Yeah, I tried real hard, but I just can't make it. I guess I just can't stop drinking. I can't stop screaming. Can't stop criticizing. I can't stop, you know. And people are moaning and groaning because they got psychological problems. Did you hear me? They got psychological, you know. So they're not able to be like these spiritual hypocrites and hang on for a long time. This is a tough group here. This is hard ground. Woohoo! Thank God none of you are like that. But here's one here, this psychological thing where people are depressed. They're Christians, but they're depressed. I can't imagine that. How could you be a Christian, a real one? Say, what's wrong with you? So that, well, they got stones in their life. See, and they don't want to deal with their stones. It was easy for Jesus to deal with my stones because I have never hidden my stones from. Jim, have you got any anger in you? Yeah. If you get too much closer, I'll kill you. I mean, it's, yeah. Have you got any bitterness in you? Sure. And so I was readily open to him because I knew he'd had this forgiveness button I could push. Okay, take forgiveness for that. Okay, you know, did you all use that button? Whenever he'd point out a sin, instead of feeling guilty, which I never did, and instead of changing, which I never did, because all I'd be is a liar, I just said, well, that's your job. You do that. I'll just take the forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. And if you want to give me the mercy thing and the power thing going along with it, go for it. It's all yours. I'm not resisting you. Just don't ask me to help you. If the Holy Spirit's going to do it, let him be one. And if Jesus wants to forgive me and die for me, I'm all for it. But don't ask me to help you out. That would be putting a burden on me. Help you out with my goodness? I don't have any. I think you pointed that out. God is good. Only God is good. None is good but God. Kind of finishes the deal right there. Amen. So how could I imagine I was good or even could be good or even wanted to be good? I don't even want to be good. Did you hear me? That pleases God. Someone like that who says what I just said, that pleases him. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's in you to will and to do. So if he's in me to will and then to do, I don't have to do that. I don't even want to, but I don't need to want to. I don't have to lie to him about that. Well, I really wanted to, but I just didn't do it. You ever known that something was a sin and you just went ahead and did it anyway? You know, like, don't be afraid and you are, and then you justify it. You ever done that? Has anybody said, you know, I know I shouldn't be yelling at my husband, but he deserves it right now, so I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway? Has anybody ever done that? You know, and you can tell, even as it's coming out, I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to do it. All right. Anyway, enough on all that. Weeds in the yard, that means outer something. You just get so caught up in this world that even though you know God will forgive you for being a hypocrite and he'll forgive you for being self-pitying, you just love this world. And you're just having trouble being a good Christian because you just are in love with this world. Pleasures. You just want stuff like that. Is anybody here like that? I mean, that was me. I would have to go to the mall every once in a while just to get normal and lust after stuff and, you know, just do that. Because being a Christian is just really tough work. Does anybody notice that? You're reading the Bible so much, you're going crazy. You know, loving people and so on and so forth. You just got to go to the mall and become normal for a while. You know, go back to your stuff. Well, anyway, the world, if it really attracts you and you go back to the world, you'll stay there. But if after a while the world doesn't please you anymore either because you've fallen in love with this guy Jesus, you won't stay in any of these things. He'll just keep breaking the soil up till you are right here, you know, showing up to people that don't deserve it. You ever love somebody that didn't deserve it? Like a husband? Has anybody ever done that? You have? Praise God. Has anybody ever done that? You love people that didn't deserve it. What do you think mercy's for? It's for people that don't deserve it. You're not showing mercy to people that deserve it. You're showing people that are rotten, no good. Yahoo! Y'all love to do that? I mean, take the biggest enemy you got and forgive that person. So, all of this. What are the four things he did? Well, he got out on a boat. You remember this story? He got on a boat, and they were rowing, and all of a sudden a big wind came up, and the storm came up, and it just began to swamp the boat. I mean, the wind was so big. We were just in Israel just a few months ago, and just out on that lake, you can just go out a few hundred yards, and all of a sudden the wind can come up. It's a deep lake. And all of a sudden, so they were being swamped, and that Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. Has anybody ever noticed that in your life Jesus is often sleeping? I mean, you're paying attention, but he's not. You got to kind of remind him, hey, Jesus, get up. Looky here. I thought you were Savior and Lord. Get going. Anyway, they were working real hard. I'm sure they had little coffee cans or something. They were just pushing the water out, and the storm was just coming in too much, and they were just thought, let's not wake Jesus because, you know, he's Jesus. I bother Jesus anytime I want to. Hello? I don't have to pretend, you know. If I need, hey, Jesus, get here. I don't pray nicely. Now, forget theology. Get here. You're like that? He loves that. I must tell you right now, he hates those Christian type prayers. Oh, God, you know, if you're gracious. He hates that stuff. That's so fake and phony. Be real. Be what you are. Does anybody hear it pray and you have a little girl voice that about you learned at 7? And you're already now 46 and you're still, in Jesus. You know, that's always, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm sorry. I'm really criticizing anybody. It just strikes me as so phony and fake. Get rid of that little girl voice as though you're wonderful now with this little girl innocent voice. Oh, I just thought I'd throw that in. Okay. So all of this, the bad stuff, but here he commands, he just wakes up, you know, I'm sure the thing was right up to his nostrils at that point. Jesus, we just thought we should wake you up at a certain point. And we are at that point. This has gotten so bad that going to church isn't working, reading the Bible, fasting and praying. We just thought we'd get you in on the deal here. You're about to die. We wouldn't bother you except this is, you know, you're about to die. That was all we were worried about. And so Jesus gets up. What does he do? He immediately rebukes the storm. The wind stops. The sea settles down and it's placid, and they go, oh, my God, he really is God. You ever come to that point in your life? I mean, maybe he really, really, really is God. When you see this once, that's cool. But when you see it over and over again, especially when you don't deserve it, it's like, wow, I don't even believe you. But, wow, thank you, Jesus. That produces worship, pure worship, because you didn't do a thing. You didn't deserve it. He just loves you. Thank you, Jesus. That's the kind of Jesus you have anyway. So that's the first thing he demonstrated. He had power. The next thing is, once the sea is calm, he runs on down to the Gerasene land, and there's a demoniac there. Now, there are people in this church who are demoniacs. You know what I mean? You know who I'm talking about. All right, you're in the fourth row. No, I'm sorry, sorry. Okay, there are people that have demons. Has anybody here ever had a demon? Yeah. I mean, one-third to one-half of our church in Fort Worth. They're demonic over there. And you have to throw them out. It just takes 15, 20 minutes. It's nothing big. Get out in the name of Jesus. That's all. And suddenly that person's in their right mind. Anyway, this guy was demoniac. He was naked. His hair, I'm sure, wasn't combed. And the guy didn't even live in a house. So he had no clothes, no housing, no nothing, because the people didn't want him. And the people in the city basically said, keep this guy away from us. And he also felt the same way as, I don't want to live among normal people. Because they don't like demoniacs. Did you know that people hate demoniacs? Yeah. Well, anyway. So Jesus was showing that not only am I over nature, I'm over culture too. So he saw this guy, and the disciples were scared. Like, God, that guy's got chains and stuff. He's broken them. This is strong. That's not human strength. That is superhuman strength from the demons. Did you know that people who are normally weak can actually do demonic things with power? Are you aware of that? You got it in you. You may not know it, but you get into a tight spot, you will do things that are not human. They're not possible, but you can do them. At any rate, this guy was scary, and Jesus just, walked up to the guy, and the guy fell down on his feet and said, Jesus, Son of God, don't torment me anymore. I've had enough hell in my life. I mean, the guy was, we have church members, seriously, that are like this, right? I mean, when people get on alcohol, or you get on drugs, or you get into some addictions, you become demonized. You don't have any power to stop it. It's like, I don't even want to stop it. I can't. Okay? Now, Jesus proved something here, that I not only will show up to such a guy, meet him face to face, I won't hate him, I don't drive him away, but I will show mercy to the guy. And so he said, what's your name? That's cool. I mean, you should knock him down or tie him up or something. He said, what's your name? Legion. Legion? That's a couple thousand. So what do you mean legion? That's how many demons I have in me. The guy knew his name. He knew, I have so many demons in me that no human being can help me. I mean, they've sent me through rehab and, I've gone to all of the, I've done everything. Is anybody here like this? I'm not making fun of it. I'm telling you, it's serious business. And it has ruined one family after another, because somebody gets so full of possession. I'm not talking just about oppression. I'm talking about demon possession. They actually have voices that come out of them and so on and so forth. Dealt with lots of them. And they make great church members. They do. Some of you are, you're like that. You're demonic at times. I guess I'm not hearing any amens, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, Jesus immediately just said to the guy, go, and the demon voice said something like this, because unclean spirit. It's a spirit, but it's an unclean one. It's unholy. Put us in the pigs, because they're unclean. Put us in the pigs. We'd hate to go into a clean person, because you'll get us sooner or later. You'll find us again. So just put us in a pig right away. So these pigs are rushing down. This is the Jordan side of the Galilee, opposite to Galilee. It's the Jordan side. Anyway, so the pigs just start rushing down, a couple thousand pigs out there. You can't raise them on the Jewish side. Jews are not supposed to have pigs. They're not supposed to eat bacon and pork and stuff like that. Right? So anyway, these pigs running down into the water, and these demons love it. They love it. I mean, they're into destruction like that. And the little piggies, you know, they're just running as fast as they can down this hillside. And the guy is suddenly in his right mind. And people go into the city and say, you can't believe what this guy did. And they put some clothes on him. And they came out and they saw the guy. And he looked like a PhD. You know, he looked normal. He had his hair combed. Looked good. Jesus probably had a little shaver with him. Shaved him off. And he looked all right. He used to live among the tombs. In other words, there's a lot of kids in our society, young people, who are driven from society by demons. And they don't come home at night, and they live in hovels, and they go where they have to go to survive. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
We're talking about our own boys and girls, our own children, our own relatives. Easy to get a hold of them. And they become demonized. It isn't just that they're sinful. We're talking about demonic. It's different, where you're actually possessed. Well, Jesus had power over that. The next one is Jairus' daughter. I'm almost done. Jairus' daughter. He was a Jewish ruler, a leader of a synagogue. And his daughter was sick and at the point of death. Serious business. Jesus is Lord of nature. He's Lord of culture. What about of religious people? Even hardened people like this. Could Jesus have any power there? You got to know how much power this guy has. So the guy said, if you could just come to my house right now, my daughter's on their deathbed and so on. And on the way, watch this. The devil's clever. On the way, the devil has a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years touch his garment. And Jesus feels the power. He only had so much. It just filled up. And it was, you know, $3.87 a gallon. He just had so much. And he was suddenly, it all just ran out. He couldn't even get to Jairus' house. Because this woman touched him, and he said to his disciples, hey, somebody just touched me. Somebody just touched me because I felt all the power go out. And nobody had noticed. It just leaked right out. You ever been like that? Okay, anyway. So this woman touched him, and she thought to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She had spent all her money. She had gone to every, you know, someone to get healing from this blood had just kept pouring out of her. I'm telling you, that's sad because you can't sleep. You can't function. She's weak all the time. But she felt, if I could just touch just even the hem of his garment. So she did. And Jesus said, no, somebody's touched me. And Peter says to him, because Peter's smart, Lord, we're in a crowd right now. Everybody's heard about all the stuff you're doing and so on. And, you know, how would anybody know who touched you? Everybody's touching you. Jesus said, no, there's an individual here. I don't see crowds. I see somebody touched me. And the woman came trembling. And she said, Lord, it was me. And she told her story. And Jesus said to her, your faith has saved you. You're well. Whoa, power. Here we see the power of God based on the fact that people thought that God was good instead of an angry judge trying to get you, put some weight on you. The last story is neat because Jairus' daughter, he finally gets to the house and they tell him, Jesus, don't even bother. She's dead. She's dead. Wow, that would be discouraging. If you were on the mission trip and someone waylaid you, and you turned aside to help that person and talk about it and discuss it and so on, and then the person that you were going to is dead. That would be the devil won that one, but not so. You see, he has power over time too. Amen. He has power over everything. There's never a hopeless situation. There is no such thing as dead. So he just went in and said, shoo everybody out. Peter, James, and John, you guys come with me. Man and wife, you come with me. Your daughter's going to be fine. What? How can you say that before? No. She's dead. We're accepting that. The mourners are already here. We've already paid them. They're mourning. And, you know, you just can't stop this stuff. So he sent everybody out, went in there, lifted her hand, raised her up, said, yeah, give her something to eat. She's hungry. Man, that is power. And then he said to them, don't tell anybody. Now, immediately when the disciples came out, they came out, right? They came out. They're not going to tell, I guarantee you. They came out, and he said to the 12, and this will be next week. He said to the 12, okay, look, I'm going to give you the same authority and power and presence, holy, merciful, mighty, so that people will marvel at what you do. You'll be just like me. And he trained his disciples to do exactly what he just did. Wherever you go, bring good news. Don't have any bad news. Don't put any burdens on people. Don't put burdens on husbands. Don't put burdens on wives. Don't put burdens on presidents. Don't put burdens on anybody. Lift the burden. You got the power. You know why? Because you have the holy presence in you, and you have the word of authority in you, and you have the power of God in you to do the same things. So when people call you up and say, you know, my daughter's demonic, or, you know, the storm has done this or whatever, you got power. You have the authority. And it's not just there to believe in it. It's not just the marvel about Jesus doing it. It's for you. It's to change your life. Amen. This is for you. We ought to have heaven on earth. There ought to be real celebration on earth, not fake and phony, the real thing. And when you're persecuted, just forgive those people. They just haven't seen it yet. And if they don't, they don't. I mean, that's their business. But you at least should share with them and be present. Find them. Go into those dark places. I have never gone to a nice mission field. I always go to the worst places. I look for the most garbagey, worst, hopeless, bad situations. Bill, you know that. Wherever we've gone, it's always been tough, one way or the other. Why? Because that's where you get the greatest victories. Because there's no market entry problem. No one else is going to be there. Because nobody wants to go to those dark, bad, nasty, off to the side of the road places. But that's where the power of God is most exhibited. That's where the love of God is most seen. Those people are good soil because they've been beat the tar out of them. They're not hardened. They're not rocks in their lives. They already know that's not the issue. And they already know the weed thing is something they can't even do. So they know, God, if you could do anything here with my life, my God, do it. I've heard your stuff, and I guess I kind of believe it, but could you do it for me? How many people have never had a touch themselves from the living God? You don't know that God can set the captive free. There is no enemy out there that he can't demolish and beat. Everything you're going through, it's good news. Let's turn it over to Jesus. That's why he came. That's why you're here. You know, just let people know, hey, there's never a hopeless moment. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, and anybody can love the Lord when they've seen him, heard him, and watched what he's just done. That's a God that I want. That's a real God. I don't believe in mafia anymore. I don't believe in, you know, taking care of myself anymore. I don't believe in all that. I don't want any of that. I don't care if I live or die. Are you like that? That's not a weight. I'm just telling you, that's a goal. Is you need to get to that point where you realize, you know what? I win no matter what. Yes. If the worst thing happens to me, I still win. You got that kind of joy in you? Boy, let it come, devil. There's nothing you can do. Poof! You got to be able to, you know, laugh at the devil. You ever done that? Yes. Or are you just kind of scared of him? Now, devil, you can't touch me, you know. You don't want to be like that. Boo. You know, you got to be able to say it out loud long before you do it. I mean, you won't just don't practice. Just do it on something small. Are you hearing me? Hey, let's say God wasn't lying. Let's just pretend for a minute that he actually was good. That he actually was really, really powerful. That he actually loved you. And he wasn't fibbing on that. And he really, really meant it. And you could put that in your own mouth and say, God, you know what right now? This stinks. I'm too weak. I can't do it. Circumstances won't change. Could you do this? And, you know, give him a small one because, you know, he's not big enough to do a big one. But try, because your faith, you know, won't go for a big one, right? So start with a small one. God, I can't find my ring. God, I don't know where my glasses are. You know, whatever. Just start with a small one. Give him a little one. God, has a little headache here, probably your size. Could you do this one? Because if you don't believe God for small things, you're not going to believe him for bigger things. Abraham didn't believe God for the rising of the dead till he was almost 100 years old. So don't worry about that. Don't put some big weight on you. Start with a little one. Give God a little one. But if he proves faithful in small things, he'll probably prove faithful in a bigger thing. I'm telling you, I've found him to be more than I can even imagine. He does stuff when I'm sleeping. Sometimes the best stuff he does is when I'm sinning. Right in the middle of it. Has anybody ever discovered that? Meg? Yeah. Yeah. You have? Praise God. You have? I mean, that is really scary when you're right in the middle of the sin and you know he's probably not going to do this one because I'm sinning. Yeah? When are you not? You know, when are you not? So, is a God that says he loves you. Don't condition him and fix him and so on. Just let him be what he says he is. And when you start worshiping God, all of a sudden you'll be doing stuff that you don't even know what you're doing. You're not even aware of it. Amen? The best has been saved to the last. We're living in the last days. The best. The best. You don't even know. You have no clue. You think God is just about to peter out and we're, you know, he's going to come back and the devil's going to, you know, have an Antichrist guy and we're all going to get scared and, oh, the hell I make it, you know, and so on and so forth. Right? That's what a lot of you think. I'm not worried about the devil. It's whether God is true. Is God true or not? Did he guarantee this thing or not? If it's up to you, we're not going to make it. But it's got to be up to God. The best has been saved to the last. Dessert, sit right at the end here. And we're not better. We're not more spiritual than any other generation. We're not smarter than any other generation. We're not more wicked than any other generation, but kind of equal. So there's nothing to commend us. It's just God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the Jewish people weren't friendly people to come to. So you don't have to be anything special. Just be you. Just like I tell Peggy, just be you. I don't want you to be what I want you to be. I don't want you to be what I want you to be. Well, you probably want me to be. No, I don't. I want you to be whatever you want to be, whatever you are. I don't care if Jesus does it, you do it, the devil does it. I don't care. Did you hear me? When you let people go like that, let my people go, then you better have a God like this. You better have one of these gods that's a real God. That'll really come through. I wish we could have time for 10 testimonies this morning, but do we have one? Is there somebody who can say, yes, I heard what you said.
I just wanted to say all morning that who else would want my sins? If I offer me here, take all my sins. No, but Jesus, what? I mean, he even wants my sins. I've never met anybody else that wanted my sins.
Amen.
On a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's just that. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. It's powerful. Powerful, powerful. Anyone else? Anyone else? Going once, twice, thrice? Okay, that's it. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we give you the praise for showing up. And then for speaking. And speaking grace, mercy, pleasure to give us the kingdom. And then for doing deeds of love, deeds of power, deeds that show us the kingdom of God is for us. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Lord, thank you. And we marvel and we worship you. We worship you in spirit and in truth. In spirit and truth. Oh, Lord God, you're so good to us. We don't even know what our right hand is doing. We don't even know. We're not even aware. Because we're just so caught up. Beholding you, we're changed. We didn't even know we got changed. When did that happen? I was looking at you, and suddenly I was different, and I don't know how that happened. I'm not used to me. I'm not used to that me. Thank you, Lord, that the best has been saved to the last, and we're living in the last days now, and the best is yet to come. And we're not depressed. We're not worried. We're not scared. We're not nervous. Because you made these huge promises that no one else could make and keep, but you apparently like to make those kind of promises.
Yes.
You apparently do love us. And I thank you, Lord God, that if anyone here is addicted to anything, if anyone here has got stones in their lives, obstacles, problems, troubles, if anyone here has got weeds in their life where they're still in love half with you and half with the world, if anyone here is hardened and spiritual hypocrite and critical of other people and judgmental and you just can't stop it, thank you, Jesus. That's nothing to you. That's just another storm. That's just another wave. That's just another demoniac situation. You can conquer all that. You can raise the dead. You can heal the sick. There's nothing you can't do. You are Lord of the Sabbath. You are Lord of our lives. You are truly the Lord. Savior, Lord. Example, Savior, Lord. The best. The best. We love you. We adore you. We worship you. with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. We're not just saying that. We believe it. We know it because it's written down, but we've actually experienced that in our lives. You're good. Lord God, keep it going. See if you can finish what you started. Don't leave us half fixed. Finish us off. Kill us. Kill our flesh. Kill our flesh. Set our spirits free. You lift the burden. Give us the blessing. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. And amen. Woohoo! God's good. God's good.